Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday and every Tuesday. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. So when it comes to auto, home, life, or business insurance, Kratzer Insurance. To them, what's important? Price. Service. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Woods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to the football end of it, one quick note on Penn State basketball. The game on Saturday, DJ Newbill got a flagrant 2, which kicked him out for the rest of the game. And I called Earl Walton over, the official at the time, or after this, during a commercial break. And I asked him, I said, was he thrown out for fighting or flagrant 2? He goes, no, Steve, flagrant 2. Okay. And the reason that that's important is that because it was a flagrant 2 and not a fighting foul, he can play tomorrow night against Minnesota. If it had been a fighting foul, he would have been suspended for tomorrow night's game. Some people have said, well, what about Kendrick Nunn from Illinois as the instigator? Now, the officials called it incidental contact, and they are not correct about that. It was not incidental contact. He ran into him and he shoved him. But it's what Newbill did in retaliation, where he took the left hand and went, boom, right to the back of the head. That's the definition of a flagrant two. Running into him and pushing him was not a flagrant foul. And when they went to the monitor and looked at it, there was number one, they can't call a foul on Kendrick Nunn. They are not allowed to. They're allowed to call a flagrant on him, but they're not allowed to call a foul. You cannot go to the monitor and then call a foul. Cannot do that. They could have called a flagrant on Nunn, but you watch the play, and it doesn't rise to the level of a flagrant foul. So wipe that off the board. What Newbill did rise to the level of a flagrant foul. And they called it a flagrant 2, and he was kicked out, but not fighting. And because of that, he can play in tomorrow night's game against Minnesota. All three parts of Saturday's game were culpable in how this happened. Illinois was rough, Penn State was rough, and the officials let it go a little bit too long. They should have taken a little bit more control of that game early to clean up some of the rough stuff, which I think led to this in the second half. So they have a game with Minnesota tomorrow night. To me, it's a line in the sand game. You're 0-2 at this particular stage. You have two home games this week at the Jordan Center, Minnesota and Indiana. Tomorrow night's game's at 7. We're on 6:30. And when we have the Penn State football search going on, people are going to ask, what are you talking about? They got a basketball game? Figured I'd slip that in there because it was an important point. Now, Illinois will get reprimanded for one thing, though. They had just had a conference call Saturday morning, all the schools, about replaying a play like that on the video board when the officials are looking at it to determine a flagrant foul. And they showed it twice on the Illinois board. They'll get, no big deal, slap in the wrist. They'll be reprimanded for it. But what they did was they only showed the Newbill part. They didn't show the Nunn part that started the whole thing. So we figure we'd update you on that part of it.
Let me ask you this. Are you allowed to replay on the video board something the officials are looking at all, or does it just have to do with this particular situation?
This situation, when they're trying to determine a flagrant foul.
So if they were trying to figure out if it was a 3 or a 2, you could replay that without any issue?
No question.
Okay. Yep.
That's not an issue. It's like showing replays in football where they're up in the booth looking at it going, okay, and to see whether his foot is out of bounds or not.
Right.
That doesn't incite the crowd. This incites the crowd.
Yeah, this is different, yeah.
Right, and that's what they're trying to avoid. Nothing that would incite the crowd and thus influence the officials. Okay? That's what they're trying to look at. you know, guy stepped out of bounds, two or three, you're like, ah, okay, fine. Yeah. So they actually talked about that Saturday morning. That's the irony of it. All right, a little bit more football coming up, but first, Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. We'll have Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio here momentarily on this Tuesday after the final BCS game of the season. Well, actually, the final BCS game, period. And a new trophy is going to be put together and everything. I like the old trophy,
yeah, cool.
Though.
Actually, what's interesting is that when you go to a museum...
And Steve, we're having a little bit of trouble with your audio here. We'll get you reconnected here in just a few short seconds as we look back on last night's BCS championship game. I understand Florida State's war song and you play it a lot. I get that part of it. What I don't get is after you give up like a 7-yard gain on first down and it's 2nd and 3, why play it there? There was a time last night in the third quarter where, I think maybe it was early fourth quarter, where Florida State was giving up yard after yard after yard of the ground, and they kept playing the war song on first down, second down. I get it. If it's 3rd and short, play it there. It makes sense. But on first down, 2nd down, it was too much.
You actually, when you do a Florida State game, you tune it out.
I would imagine you'd have to.
No, I tune out most of what's around me anyway. Because you get locked into what you're doing. So I really don't care about that. The key play of the game is the fake punt.
Oh, very much that, so.
That's the whole game right there. That if you miss the fake punt, Auburn's going to. But I felt strong. I mean, I felt before they even lined up, I'm thinking to myself, they've got to fake it here. Because they had to do something. And so when they ran the fake punt, I wasn't surprised. I expected it. Because I really felt that they were on the verge of losing the game and needed to do something. Nick Saban, who, by the way, is a natural on TV, made a great point last night. I think he was talking about, and he's done this before, but I think he was talking about a game with Tennessee that they played. And it wasn't a fake punt. I think he went for it from his own 29-yard line. They didn't get it. And he thought to him, he thought to himself, well, that was one of the stupidest things I could have done in my coaching career. I may have been the dumbest right there. And it turned out that Alabama resurrected itself and won the game after being way behind. And the players told him later, when you went for it, that told us you were willing to do whatever it took to win. That the coaches were committed to winning. I thought that was an interesting answer. And at that point, Florida State took off because they got some momentum. I would have named the green kid, the wideout, the MVP of the game. I understand why James Winston was, you know, because he's the quarterback. But I thought, you know, I mean, that the play that got them down in a position to win the game was not exactly a perfectly thrown, on-the-mark, 30-yard strike that got them in position. It was a pitch-and-catch play, and he broke two tackles and got downfield.
The guy that impressed me, though, Steve, was Trey Mason. Boy, I'll tell you
what. Trey Mason was really good.
For a small guy, he scoots through holes that you don't even see him in, and then all of a sudden he's 7 yards downfield. And, oh, yeah, he can break tackles and spin, too.
This is a nice recovery for you because I know the Lindsey Vaughn thing has you.
I'm a little depressed that Lindsey Vaughn is out of the Olympics. I mean,
Start working with Tiger Woods? What's going on here?
It's sad. You want to see somebody like that make a comeback after the knee injury, but then you realize
yes, you won.
Okay. Yeah. But you also realize that that is a sport that is really stressful on the knees and how hard it is to make a comeback.
Oh, sure it is. No, I mean, you just watch it. It's the stress that's put on the joints, ankles, knees, hips, is incredible. Okay, today we're going to be talking about IndyCar. We're looking forward to that. Should be a great show.
St. Pete's not that far away. Or is it? Yeah, St. Pete.
I don't know. What is that, the first race? That
would be the first race. I'm looking forward to July 4th weekend.
Well, right now it's 2 degrees out. I'm looking forward to 4th of July weekend, too. I don't really care about sports that weekend. I'm looking forward to going out there and going, hey, it's 82 degrees. Excellent Let's go point. Have barbecue.
It's an excellent point. But you have to admit, on a day like today, March 30th in St. Petersburg doesn't sound half bad.
Oh, we can go to a ball game. They have an indoor park. See the Rays.
Yeah, we'll catch them both. We'll catch the race and then go to the ball game.
No, I just want to have fun. We'll go to the ball game. Sorry you woke up, didn't you?
Today,
Lawrence talked about how they build your self-esteem up.
Yeah, just so I could be prepared for 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that we were tearing down your self-esteem.
That's all right. I've had to go see a few people, but you know, I'm good with it now.
Well, no, I mean, I only have one response to that.
I can't wait for this.
Oh, well. Okay.
That's the one I expected here. Yeah. That's the one I expected here. No, I am depressed that Lindsey Vaughn is not going to be in the Olympics.
Oh, yawn.
Well, name one other skier from the U.S. team that you... Name one. Exactly. Right there is the highest name, the biggest name on the U.S. ski team, not counting half pipe. And hot dog aerials, and she's not going to be there. And yes, I'm still going to watch it.
Okay. Penn State's put out a statement on the search. We'll talk about that statement in a moment. And some perspective on it. That's coming up next half hour. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com as well. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. They did not insure Lindsey Vonn's knees. They were smart. Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland.
Solutions.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance believes in a couple of things. They believe in a price that fits your lifestyle and budget. And also they believe in quality service. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State Athletic Director Dave Joyner made a statement today. In fact, the statement came out within the last half hour. The search for the new leader of the Penn State football program is progressing very well. We are on schedule, and I anticipate having the new head coach in place in a matter of days. The search is robust, as we anticipated, and as we anticipated it would be, and we have an excellent pool of candidates. That I knew. I have heard from many coaches or their representatives who have expressed interest in this position. And the bottom line, there's a couple things here. Remember, above all, this is Tuesday. He made the original statement Thursday. So while it feels like 5 months, it's been 5 days. And as I said last Friday, I said I would not be surprised on the next Friday, the 10th, that we would be talking about the new head coach of Penn State. I still think that's a distinct possibility in all this. And with Craig Fitzgerald, Sean Hayes, and Dwight Gault moving to Houston, obviously they're going to need strength and conditioning people. Now, Penn State can shift people around temporarily to work with Greg Miskinis, but they're going to need them working on the winter program starting on Monday. The strength and conditioning coach position is at the discretion of the head coach. That is a coaching position. And whatever they do in strength and conditioning has to match up with the philosophy of the head coach as to how they want them trained. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, the next part. I've talked about patience in all of this. And it's a very difficult situation to be patient about because we're all interested. We all, on this Tuesday afternoon at 3:38, would love to know who the head coach of Penn State football is so everybody can move forward. That coach can assemble a staff, talk to the players, get the recruits, things like that. Completely understand that end of it. At the same time, I want to point out that this is such an important position. It's not the university president, but still it is a very important hire for Penn State University. Beat Urban Meyer, beat Mark D'Antonio, beat Brady Hoke, win the division, and championships, get to the BCS. You want to have that person in place. It's such an important hire. It's going to be the kind of hire that the alumni need to gravitate toward, that the season ticket-holding base that donates so much money to gravitate toward and get behind and be excited about, that the players are excited about, that the recruits are excited about, somebody that's media savvy and that the media can listen to and understand exactly where they're coming from. That's how important the hire is. So if it takes a little extra time to identify that person, come to an agreement with that person, but also vet that person. That's also an important part of this. And vetting is not something that you pick up the phone and 45 minutes later you go, got it, all good. You need that individual as well, because I think 5 years ago you really wouldn't have to. some background check, but of course, after what happened 2 years ago, it has to be pretty thorough. So when you put all that together, if extra time is needed, because this is such an important hire for a wide variety of reasons, then so be it. So be it. It's that important to hire. As much as I'd like to know on 3:40 on this Tuesday afternoon who it is, when it's that important to hire, if a little extra time is needed just to make sure, if a little extra time is needed to check out a candidate, and they're, believe me, we hear about names, there could be names that we have not heard of on that list that they're talking to. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying it's a possibility. So if it takes a little time because it's that important to hire, because it is that important to hire, then so be it. Patience is difficult. Maybe I preach it too much, but in the end, I also think it's the right, for me personally, I think it's the right way to go. So Ben Jones joins us from StateCollege.com. Ben, what do you know?
Ben, welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Steve.
All right, so where does this whole thing stand with you right now?
I mean, it is one big mess, I think, is probably the best way to describe it. Certainly, you know, how Twitter and the Internet perceive the coaching search is not necessarily how it's going in real life, but it seems that Al Golden was the hot name last week, and James Franklin is the hot name today, and, you know, who knows who will be the hot name tomorrow, but it does seem that the day is coming sooner rather than later that Penn State will have a new head coach.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I've talked about the importance of the hire and that if time is needed, so be it. Can you address that from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to take the right amount of time to find a guy that you really want. And, you know, Dave Joyner said that the press conference that he had, that, you know, the last time they had to make a hire is such a unique situation that they had to take a lot of time to really vet the candidates and find a guy that really fit the role that they needed. And, you know, where O'Brien fit on that, in that list, you know, we will probably never know for certain, at least publicly, but, you know, they're going to take their time and find the guy that they need to fill the role that they need. But at the same time, you have to be aware of things like the end of the dead period on the 15th and signing day next month. So there's definitely some time concerns to be aware of, but, you know, there's no reason that Penn State had to turn around and hire a coach 3 days after O'Brien left.
Right. But there's also another part to this, too. Greg Maskinis is the only person left in the strength and conditioning staff. Now, obviously, other people can be temporarily shifted over to help out. But the players, they start their winter program on Monday. Does that enter into this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to want to have – I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's going to be more players enrolling early this weekend than there are currently assistants on Penn State staff, and certainly – you know, the strength and conditioning program works with them, works with the players a lot more than the assistants do during the off season.
No question.
So being able to get those guys in there, I mean, I know that a lot of guys have, you know, almost stuck around for fits over the sanction to open the transfer period, almost more for fits than they did for O'Brien. You know, sort of that the strength program can really be a big part of how good your off season is, and really a big part of being able to kind of bond as a team and a coaching staff. These guys work with the players more than any other coach on the team, especially in the off season. So being able to get, you know, somebody in place who can get a strength program in place is almost as important.
What about from your point of view? And people are always, and it's understandable because people want to know what's going on. So there's always this search for information. Have you felt pressure in any way, Ben, that you have to deliver something as you go through this, or have you just kind of just been able to just, you know, pick and choose where you need it?
I mean, I think there's always some sort of pressure because people want to know what's going on, and it's sort of your responsibility of sorts to figure these things out. But at the same time, you kind of have to stick to the reporting principles, so to speak, that you've used, you know, when you're reporting injuries or recruits or things like that. This is just a process, and you have to talk to people that you trust and talk to people who know what's going on, and you have to make decisions based on that. I think there's always sort of a rush to get the latest and best piece of information on the search, but realistically, this is something that's going to take and has taken, you know, days and might take another week to unfold, and stuff doesn't happen every day. There's not breaking news every day. So if you sort of press to find news, you end up reporting things that, you know, might be true, but you might be stretching, or it might be not true, and you might not know it. So I think it's just important to kind of stick to your fundamentals, so to speak, in this kind of situation.
Let's stick to the next part. I think I know we've talked a little bit about Fitz, and he goes to Houston, which will work out great, but when you're a member of a coaching staff, I mean, his position was at the discretion of the new head coach to begin with anyway. He was in that pool. So, I mean, he had, you know, he ends up with a great position, but still he had to protect himself too, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something that Penn State fans have to get used to almost. It's not, you know, none of these changes are personal. You know, guys can, I mean, UC O'Brien goes into Houston and clears out the entire staff, and that same thing can happen when a new coach comes to Penn State. And I mean, you saw that when O'Brien came to Penn State, he kept Vanderlinden and Johnson, but for the most part, everybody else, at least from an assistant standpoint, was gone. So, you know, Fitz doesn't know what kind of opportunity he's going to have down the road. And, you know, it's hard to turn down an NFL job, you know, regardless of what your position is going to be. That those kind of opportunities don't come along very often. And, you know, Butler and Fitz have both been really close friends and comrades in arms, so to speak, through the coaching career with Bill O'Brien. Not always in the same place, but they've known each other for a long time. So it's not as simple as people just leaving Penn State because they don't like it. It's more of a career move and one that you can kind of see coming, and it's really hard to blame them for doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Fitzy really liked it here. There's no question about that. But at the same time, you know, when you're in that position, you know, what if, and it's always a what if, because we don't know who's going to be hired. What if their philosophy about what they do is not the same as what you do? I mean, that's what, you know, John Thomas ran into that with Jeremy Scott. The Bill O'Brien's philosophy on strength and conditioning was different than theirs. Didn't say one's better than the other. That's not saying that, but it's different. And so since it's different, he went with the way that he's comfortable with.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you see that with some of the coaching changes that O'Brien was making before he ever left Penn State. You know, when Vanderlinden and Fisher, you know, technically the HR term is that they resigned, but I think anyone who thinks this through a little bit can figure out that this is sort of an internal move to get guys on the staff that are doing, you know, exactly what they want. It's not an indictment on Vanderlinden's ability to coach linebackers, because obviously his career speaks for itself, but really the being able to find people that mesh philosophically with you in a sport that is so much of how you approach the game from every angle. You know, you never know who's going to come in, and even if Fitz is the greatest strength and conditioning coach in the country, you know, it just might not fit the vision for the program, and that could be enough to make a move.
Right. Exactly. Quick change of gears. Fran McCaffrey gets a one-game suspension for what happened against Wisconsin. Even he knows he was wrong as to what he did. But still, your thoughts on that, especially in light of the DJ Newbill situation?
Yeah, I mean, the DJ Newbill, I mean, they're a little different. I think you're always going to get in more trouble when you make contact with a referee, no matter how nonviolent it may be. You know, McCaffrey's always been one of those guys, you know that as well as I do, that he's a fiery, really almost a more fired up than Pat is. So that sort of thing, you know, you really can't stand for that. You can't, it's the sort of thing that you have to do. And the DJ thing, I think, is really a frustration matter. We both know that he's a pretty quiet, pretty laid back kind of guy. So I think that sort of thing just boiled over. And, you know, I was surprised to see them call the first contact sort of incidental, because it looked like he was getting leaned into a little bit, but almost always in these situations, the guy who retaliates is going to get in more trouble than the guy who initiated the whole scuffle, so to speak.
Yeah, the problem with that is they can't go to the monitor and they can't call a foul on him. They could now, if they thought what he did none was flagrant, then they could have called that, but it didn't rise to that level, so they really couldn't do anything about it, so they came up with the incidental explanation, because you can't go to the monitor and call a foul on him. You're not allowed to. You can call flagrants, which they did and removed DJ.
Yeah, and that's true. And obviously, even if none did it on purpose, it was not a flagrant level, like you said. And certainly, even if it was getting close to that, it sort of pales in comparison to shoving a guy in the back of the head. And certainly, you know, it doesn't make DJ the worst guy in the world. It's just sort of how things play out sometimes. So, you know, in that light, it certainly was the right call on the court.
Your thoughts on tomorrow night? Is it one of those line in the sand moments in the season?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Penn State has not played, I think, up to where they would like to over the past two games. It's really been the first half against Michigan State's really been, Penn State playing a game that I think is what people expected them to play. Maybe not 47 points every half, but certainly making shots, playing okay defense, and sort of playing, as they say, Penn State basketball. So I think, conference schedule, it's about protecting the home court. It's about beating teams that you can beat. And Minnesota is always going to be a good program, and they are still this year. But, playing them at home, you want to beat teams that you can beat. Minnesota is certainly one of those teams. Even if they lose, if they can just play, closer to how they played against in the first half of Michigan State, that's a step forward. But, Pat will be the first guy to tell you that this is not about moral victory. This is just about winning games.
Exactly. Appreciate it very much, Ben, and I'll let you go back to monitoring whatever you need to monitor as we go through the process.
All right. Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate the break from it all.
That's what we do. We give people breaks from it all. It's a good line, Ben. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. About 8:30 before the hour. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. And also a little bit about last night's game. Kevin wants to talk about Lindsey Vonn, who I guess is a Facebook friend, and also about the IndyCar season. Kevin will talk about the IndyCar season and about Lindsey Vonn at 5:05 today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Look, I think part of what happens in a search like this is that everybody gets impatient. And the reason everybody gets impatient is they want to know what the answer is. And they'd like to know, what the process is and so forth. But you can't, if you're on the search committee or you're Dave Joyner, you can't do that. You can't expose names out there that you're talking to and so forth and then play one off the other. You just can't do that. Believe me, they're going about it in the right way. And it just takes time sometimes. I mean, it just takes time. And it happens in anything, in any profession. And the process of hiring somebody is not, and then one of this magnitude. The other part is it's the magnitude of it. This is going to be, look, you're going to hire a university president. Now, the university president in the end is probably the one, idealistically, is the one that has to be the face of the university. Idealistically. But in reality, Penn State's the face of Penn State. And the university president certainly one of the faces. The football coach certainly is one of the faces and so forth. I think what fans care about most here is they care about a couple things. They care about graduating players and winning. Well, there you go. And, it also making sure, obviously, that they have that they're good citizens as well. And graduating players, good citizens, winning. That's one thing that with Bill, after an incident with Sean Oakman, did we hear about anything else in the program for 2 years? I mean, really? So, part of the, because of the importance of that, this person is going to have to be able to connect with alumni. Okay, this is in no particular order, okay? Has to be able to connect with his players, connect with recruits, connect with his staff, has to be able to connect with the athletic department, has to be able to connect with the administration, has to be able to connect with the donors, has to be able to connect with the fans, who, by the way, when they buy their tickets, are also donors. And it certainly wouldn't hurt if he connected with and had a good understanding of the media, and the media have a good understanding of him as to where he's coming from and what his approach is. So that person has to be all of those things and more. You're talking about a CEO of a multi-million dollar company, and that company is Penn State Football. And the two most important hires that you make, and I say this with all due respect to the wonderful coaches out there, are football and men's basketball, because those are the two that make money so you can have all your other great sports. So if it takes a little extra time, it takes a little extra time. Sounds like they're on schedule based on what Dave Joyner said today, which I'm not surprised because, again, we're only 5 days in. It feels like 5 months, but it's only 5 days. He said it would take days. Well, so far it's only taken days. It's okay. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland.